Hello and welcome into this edition of Buff Chill Podcast with Rex and Lav. Well, folks, Sam Burns staked to a two-shot lead over Ryan Fox and Siwoo Kim as we sit here at the 154th Open Championship. But Rex, we're going to get into Sam Burns because this certainly feels like it could be a breakout moment. But once again, this third round at Royal Birkdale was dominated by Bryce DeChambeau. When we left you on Friday evening, there was at least a little bit of uncertainty. You and I both believed that that was not going to come to fruition. About an hour after we were done recording, Bryce did go to social media and confirmed that he intended to play this third round and the weekend at the Open. But this was unlike any day, sort of at the tail end of what has been a very bizarre week for Bryce DeChambeau as well.
Surreal, bizarre, whatever word you want to use on that front. I think up until the last minute, you and I both sort of arrived just to make sure he was going to show up, to be quite honest with you. You're right. He tweeted about midnight that he did plan on playing the third round, but there was a lot going on Friday afternoon. My guess is there was still a lot going on when he arrived on Saturday for his round. First and foremost, get it out of his way. He's playing brilliant golf, which is pretty amazing. I was just reading John Rahm's transcript, and he was asked specifically about it. John Rahm said, it's amazing some players seem to play their best when there is a bit of a distraction, when there are things going on off the golf course. He pointed out that there's been two events this year on LIV where Bryce DeChambeau has talked about the idea.
Crushed it.
Did you?
Rex has finally, yes, in the year of our Lord 2026, he has finally learned how to pronounce Bryce DeChambeau's name.
A very kind executive at Golf Channel finally walked by and told me after all these years that I was mispronouncing his
name.
It's DeChambeau.
It's not DeChambeau.
It's DeChambeau.
It is DeChambeau.
I'm going to mess it up. But he pointed out that there's been two LIV events this year that he's clearly had things going on off the course. He won one of those events. I believe it was in South Korea this week. Clearly one of those situations. I did follow him to the range. Not like last night. He didn't hit balls into the night. I actually counted. He only hit 21 shots. Which is pretty tame for him after a round. He went to the putting green. There was a level of frustration, but there is an added element of intrigue here, and you dug it up.
I did dig it up. So when it relates to Bryson DeChambeau's round, right, I don't think it quite possessed the same energy that we had over this first 36 holes, which I thought were
still amazing ball striking. He's driving the ball amazing, yeah.
But, I mean, the first 36 holes here were a fever dream for a player who really did not perform in this championship, like certainly his expectations and what sort of his level of play suggests. So he made just a single birdie in the first 14 holes, stuffed his tee shot on 15. So at that point, he's starting to get going, makes a slippery 10-footer for birdie on 17. All of a sudden, Rex, he's within two shots of the lead, makes a bogey on the finishing hole. A little bit interesting as well. There was a couple shouts from the crowd in the grandstand surrounding 18. There was a cry of Bryson, you cheat. There was someone who said, F the RNA. There's another one who said, the rough can't help you now. Bryson ends up making bogey, didn't seem to mind. He was still the showman as ever, tossed the ball into the crowd, was posing for selfies with fans behind the clubhouse fence, then goes into scoring, signs his card. Immediately after signing his card, Bryson marched directly into the championship office here with the RNA and met and had an animated discussion with CEO Mark Darbin. It is understood that Bryson was having a conversation with him to try and retrieve the second round scorecard that he had here. We do not know why he would want to possess that scorecard, but because that was a highly unusual request, he was sent away disappointed. At that point, Rex, he then left the championship office, returned back to the scoring tent, apparently to no avail, trying to get it there. At that point, after about 30 seconds, then he went to the range, underwent another session. You finally left him. He was probably going to go for another 30 to 45 minutes.
No, he was done hitting balls. He'd gone over the putting green. Like I said, it was a pretty tame session by his standards. But it does give you an idea. He clearly is not happy about what happened on Friday. And this is still something that's lingering. And it's still something that's probably going to linger for a long time.
I have no idea at this point, as we're sitting here at 8:50 local time, what Bryson would have wanted to do with possession of that scorecard.
Frame it,
most likely put it on social media. There was at least some initial speculation that maybe he was going into the championship office to complain about what Rory McIlroy had said just a couple of hours earlier. If you miss it, it's gone everywhere on social media. Rory said that Bryson's actions on Friday night were performative. He was doing it for attention. He said, quote, I am not particularly fond of Bryson and was not intending to defend him in any way. It was pretty clear to Rory and several players who came through the scoring area in the Flash area recs that this was an infraction that Bryson DeChambeau had on Friday. And it seemed like most players were a little bit ticked off as well about sort of the sideshow that accompanied it, which is a big part of the newsletter that you and I cranked out late Friday evening, the Live From newsletter with Rex and Lav.
Yeah, the idea the show must go on. The tee times didn't come out until about midnight local time here, which is much later than what you would anticipate. And it's understandable. I mean, the RNA was dealing with a lot of things. We had a conversation this morning with some officials from the RNA about wanting to have a longer press conference following the Bryson DeChambeau situation, in which I'm going to get better at that. As time
it's
goes
definitely
by.
Not going to be as awkward as it is right now.
Tom, I promise I'm going to get better at that, but I'm trying it out right now. We wanted more answers, but they pointed out that they needed to get the tee times out. There were still things that needed to be done. Two things on that front. I wrote the story on golfchannel.com about what Rory said. I think the most compelling part, other than the fact that clearly is not friends, doesn't think much of Bryson. I don't think that's a huge shock. The one thing actually that stood out to me is that he saw it live in real time. He was watching the coverage yesterday, Rory, I'm talking about, yesterday afternoon in the players' lounge. And he said when they saw what Bryson did, he said he and a couple of other players exchanged glances, the idea being that something wasn't right, which means they keyed into it immediately. That wasn't the case, I think, with the general public by and large. Mm. We didn't find out until much later. I'll also say world number one Scottie Scheffler was also asked about this, and he started the answer the way you would anticipate Scotty asking. He doesn't like to wade into these types of waters. I think his response was, I really don't have any thoughts on this. And then he stopped himself and said, I have a lot of thoughts on this. This isn't the right time to talk about it. I couldn't tell you which way he could possibly go on this. I'd like to think you can read the room a little bit about where a player's head's at, because to be fair, Max Homa was asked earlier in the day, and he actually felt like the ruling was too stringent. He didn't feel like there was a violation. So there are those who are coming in on both sides of this.
Yeah, and there's still confusion about intent or whether Bryson was doing it intentionally or nefarious.
It doesn't matter
as it relates to the rule of the law. I thought the RNA actually did a very good job spelling out in the explanation that intent or meaning does not matter here. What matters is that what the actions were, and Bryson was clearing a path for his backswing. Very interested to see when and if Scotty eventually makes those thoughts known. He is playing next week at the 3M Open. Yes, in Minnesota. He's traveling from the Open Championship to play a full field event on the PGA Tour the following week. It'll be three events in a row. Not expecting the hard-hitting journalists in Minnesota potentially to be asking him about that, but maybe.
Don't do that to our friends in Minnesota.
Who knows?
Don't do that to our friends
in Minnesota. Is the Minnesota Star Tribune?
Yep. You guys bring the heat. You guys prove us wrong. Ask the hard questions. Get the tough answers.
Please do it. It seems like Scotty wants to talk about it. He was not going to talk about it after the third round of the Open Championship. Scotty, by the way, shot 70. He is now six shots behind heading into the final day. By the way, Bryson DeChambeau carded a 69 in the third round. He is four shots back. When you look at the top 10 on that leaderboard, Rex, he is the only player who has won a major championship. Okay. That is a long-winded way of getting to the actual tournament leader at this point, which is Sam Burns. If you've been paying attention over the last nine major championships, this is a player, Rex, who's really starting to come into his own, really starting to address some of the weaknesses in his game that are primarily his iron play. This is now, I would argue, his fifth great opportunity to win a major championship in just the past 2 years. 2024 Open Championship was just a shot off the lead, ended up shooting 80. 2025 U.S. Open was in great position there in that final group. Had a little bit of a tough luck with the ruling, some of the weather issues that they had at Oakmont. Ended up shooting, I believe, 78 and falling down the leaderboard. Earlier this year at the Masters, one shot off the lead heading into the final round. Came back on the final day. The U.S. Open shot 67 on the final day. Ended up finishing second, one shot behind Wyndham Clark. And here he is, Rex, staked to a two-shot lead heading into the final day. A player who has gone 62-65 over the past 36 holes here at Birkdale.
Following an opening 73 that was very ugly, he finished that with, I think, three consecutive bogeys on Thursday to essentially start his week. And I think Scottie Scheffler brings the best perspective on this. They're best friends. They play a lot of golf together. And he was asked specifically, are you surprised by this? And he said, absolutely not. He's really good. And he pointed out, it's really hard to win on the PGA Tour. It's even harder to win major championships. I'm going to push back a little bit on what you just said. The idea that he's been trending in the right direction. He's played 25 major championships, has 4 top 10 finishes. It's not as
when have those top 10 finishes come? They have all come in the past 9 major appearances.
Recently, but I'll also point out that you said closed last year at the U.S. Open with a 78 to finish 5 shots back.
He was in the final group of the U.S. Open. He had an opportunity.
Closed with a 78. He was out of the mix early. Finished 5 shots back.
He was not out of the mix early. He
finished 5 shots back.
The ruling, I believe, was on 13 or 14 with the waterlogged fairways. Remember, he was denied relief. Ended up making double bogey.
Again, this is revisionist history. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, yeah, what you're explaining is someone who has struggled on the final day when the pressure was worst. I think that's a fair analysis.
Except for Shinnecock, which was a month ago.
He was seven back to start the final round, so he wasn't even in the mix. So I can sit there and counter that as well. It's not as though he was even in the conversation. Find me someone right now on that leaderboard that who's 7 back.
Missed
and
2 10-footers on the last 4 holes. Otherwise, Sam Burns could have won that golf tournament.
Could have. Didn't. Started the final round 7 back. Find me someone on that leaderboard who's 7 back that you would say right now has a legitimate chance. You won't, because you know it's not possible.
Scottie Scheffler, it's certainly possible.
Anything is possible, but you're going to throw the stat out right now that if you're not within, go ahead. How many shots of the lead?
I wish I had that. I've been.
And you know it's not 7 shots.
I've been pounding the pavement trying to get some scoops as related to Bryson DeChambeau. I do not have that stat off the top of my head.
But you know it's not 7 shots.
Stay tuned on Sunday evening. I'm sure I'll have good stats.
I'm also going to point out that he has won 5 times on the PGA Tour. One of those, his signature event, was the Match Play Championship back in 2023. That's his last PGA Tour victory, which happened 3.5 years ago. All of these things are just facts I'm pointing out. I love Sam Burns going into this final round. You're right. His ball striking, specifically his strokes gained approach numbers, have been off the charts.
He's leading the field this week in strokes gained approach.
He's top 5 in the category I just looked at. So he was 3rd, is what I just saw. Okay. So not leading the field, which is still very good. What are you looking at here?
Strokes gained approach, according to Data Golf, Sam Burns, currently number one strokes gained.
His other 4 victories came, again, in order. Colonial, a great event, not a signature event.
When he beat Scottie Scheffler in a playoff.
That's right. And the Match Play, he also beat Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, and Cam Young. At that Match Play. All very, very good. The other 3 victories are twice at Valspar and once at the Sanderson Barnes. Again, his biggest victory doesn't even exist on the PGA Tour schedule. So you
think he has absolutely no chance of winning? Is that what you're saying?
No, absolutely not. I love his chance. I would pick him as the favorite right now, but I'm going to pump the brakes when you sit there and say that he absolutely has, that he's the player to beat right now. Because I think 3rd, strokes gained approach, by the way, is what he just...
And Data Golf has him at 1st.
Data Golf would be wrong on this one, because this is the RNA site. This is the official, the Open Championship site, is 3rd. Again, we're arguing about silly stuff right now. I'm going to go to the idea that, no, clearly Sam Burns is the player to watch going into the final round. The way he has played this week since Thursday's finish has been brilliant. And I do think he has it in him to close this out. We just haven't saw it. So I'm just asking for you, of all people, to pump the brakes a little bit.
No, it just seems like this is a player whose time is coming soon.
Perhaps.
And I think it would certainly be fitting for how he has played in the major championships so far in 2026 to have a fitting Cody here. Again, very much in the mix at the Masters, 1 shot back. Very much in the mix at the U.S. Open after a final round rally, getting within 1 shot of Wyndham Clark. And here he is now, the 54-hole leader, Birkdale.
And you can make the argument the one thing that he does better 9 times out of 10 than anyone else is putting. He's been not middle of the pack, but he's 32nd right now in strokes gained putting. And it's not the performance we anticipated from him. He's doing this with his ball striking, which is the most impressive part.
I'm very confused how the stats that you have, which are courtesy and powered by NTT Data, are different than Data Golf, which to me is
the
gold standard. It is different because he's like 21st in putting, according to Data Golf. Whatever the case, he's been putting well. But his iron play.
Those stats are off from time a lot, actually, I have found. Yeah. And I don't know why. Even the shot link stats. This is, if someone out there knows, please, you guys are always great about commenting in the section. Let us know why those stats would be so different.
I'm trusting my friends at Data Golf. I love them.
I'm trusting the official RNA site.
I think they do a great job. What should give Rex a lot of these contenders some solace, some hope, some optimism for this final day is that we have already seen 362s so far at Royal Birkdale. Ryan Fox was the latest, shooting 62. And for a lot of the day, he was tied for the lead before Sam Burns made a couple of birdies late. It has not been a great year for Foxy, and yet here he is going to be playing off in the final group.
Early, though. And it's going to be a similar weather pattern tomorrow. Yep. I think if someone can make a move early tomorrow morning, but I don't know how far back they would be.
The conditions, I've not seen the forecast in a couple of hours. I'm anticipating today it was certainly the coolest. The temperatures were in the low 70s, and it was about 10 to 15 miles an hour. I've been a little bit disappointed, Rex, by the golf course because it's so firm, it's so fast, it's so brown, it's so dead in the fairways, and yet we have not seen the separation at the top of the leaderboard because I would argue that the greens are still very soft. They're still very receptive and still a little bit slow. And the RNA has had to do a lot of manufacturing with putting some pins tucked behind slopes and ridges just to protect scoring a little bit. I'd love on the final day of this championship for them to just let it go a little bit. It might get brown and it might get crusty and it might get firm and it might get a little bit dusty. It's just very odd. You did a story about this yesterday, I believe. It's very odd to see how brown the fairways are, but how green the actual putting surfaces are.
And I think you and I both would agree because of conditions, it hasn't rained here in over a month. You've probably the fastest, firmest fairways we've seen at the Open Championship in a decade. It's fun to watch. This is links golf at its absolute best. The greens are much more receptive. I would say they're much more green. You can certainly see it on TV when you're watching. And that's by design. Before all hell broke loose yesterday with Bryson, I had spoke with Grant Moyer, who now is, of course, a meme. It's interesting to see how he has been transformed. But I asked him about those conditions, and the plan was to set the firmness of the greens up the exact same for rounds one and two, which they measure it in fractions of inches, and that's 0.37 ninths of an inch, essentially, is what it is.
Sure.
And they want to do it the exact same way on Saturday and Sunday. Again, by design, because if they get faster, if they get firmer, he feels like you kind of lose the ability to make putts. And what they want to do is reward good shots. And so on this, I will give the RNA credit because at the US Open, we saw the USGA really try to juice up Shinnecock Hills to try to make it as tough as test as possible. At Aronimink, we saw the PGA of America do the exact same thing. They don't do that here at the RNA. What they do is allow Mother Nature and the golf course to play as intended and as the weather allows.
Just looking at the leaderboard here as we head into the final round, again, Bryce DeChambeau of the top 10 players on the leaderboard. He is the only one who has won a major championship. You look at Siwoo Kim, Rex, tied with Scottie Scheffler for the most top 10s in the PGA Tour this season with 9, has consistently been up there on the leaderboard. All that he is lacking in 2026 so far is a win. Pretty impressive round by Ryan Gerard. First time he's been in major championship contention, shooting 68. He's in a tie for fourth. Lucas Herbert, who shot 62, very easily could have shot, I don't know, 59, 60, 61 in that second round, backs up with a 71. He's currently in a tie for fourth, 3 shots behind. There's Ludwig, popped up with a 67. Jackson Suber as well, acquitting himself quite nicely in his first trip to Europe.
What do you see? Looking at the forecast, essentially the same. It's going to be calm in the mornings, but then it's going to switch out of the northwest. And actually, we're going to get gusts right about finishing time to 22 miles an hour. Today, it didn't get above 10, maybe 15. So it will be a little bit more difficult tomorrow.
Let the golf course go. Let the greens go. Hopefully, we see a little bit more separation. It was super bunch. We had, 8 players separated by a single shot for much of this afternoon before Sam Burns got hot late. And again, Sam Burns, leader by 2 shots, heading into the final round. Quick. Give me your winner. Give me the winning score.
Oh, I think Sam Burns wins, and I'm going to go with 12 under. I pick at 11 at the beginning of the week, but I do think Sam Burns, anything under par today makes him an easy winner.
Anything under par tomorrow makes him an easy winner? Yeah, I would agree with that as well. I do think Sam Burns, give me a 68. Sam Burns wins at 12 under par, which actually was my winning score at the beginning of the week, which might quite possibly be the only thing that I have gotten right. In the preview podcast, I predicted this is going to be a very hard one
to
forecast, and indeed, it is proof in that way for me. All right. That is going to do it for this edition of the Golf Show Podcast with Rex and Lav. As a reminder, we'll be doing the full made for TV 52-minute edition on Sunday evening, wrapping up the 154th Open Championship. Rex and I will also have another edition of the Live From Newsletter with Rex and Lav. If you have not signed up for this, and I don't know why you haven't, because Rex, it has been absolutely electric, throwing heaters.
Check your junk folder.
98 mile per hour on the black, including a column about Bryson DeChambeau on Friday evening. We'll have another edition on Sunday night that will be dropping in your inboxes on Monday morning. If you want to sign up for that, go to golfchannel.com/Rex and Lav. Follow the links there to sign up for the newsletter. Thanks for listening. Thanks for support. Enjoy the final round of the Open Championship, which again is the final round of the 2026 Major Championship season.
That was contentious.
It sure was.
Wow.